Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Buenas noches. ¿Cómo están? Hasty bananas. Just kidding. Amen. Well, we're going to guest preacher here tonight. Just kidding. Hey, see how excited they were? Amen. This is Chris, and he's got an awesome testimony. And I'm going to help him with it, okay? He's excited. He's on fire. Like Santos said, we're seeing revival. We're seeing things happen. We're seeing people witness and tell people about the Lord. And so he shared with me yesterday. We didn't get to talk, but he told me, I can't wait to share something with you. And so he said, I was praying. It was your grandma, right? Grandma's cousin. They hadn't seen in 8 years, and he had a chance to go visit her where? Called on the phone, okay. So called on the phone and had breast cancer since 2020, correct? And so he was thinking, you know, who am I? How can I do this? Who am I to pray for her? And he just said, Lord, help me. And he started to pray, and he started to pray in tongues, and he started to pray with her on the phone, and she began to cry on the phone. And she said she had never heard about Jesus before. Amen. No one ever told her about Jesus. And so he prayed. He said, I believe God can heal you, right? And he spoke with authority, and he prayed for her.
Jesus said that she would be healed when she stepped into that doctor's office. And his word was flowing through me. And when I said, amen, it was finished. And she believed it. And I said, it is by your faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you will be healed. And the doctor will be puzzled when you step back in there, and you will be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And when I said, amen, I said, Marianela, I love you. And when she said that when I told her I love her, she said it sounded like Jesus was saying that he loved her, and that it was a reminder that to put her faith in him, and he will love her to the end, and that he will do what he needs to do, and that he will finish. My bad, Pastor Blake. And she went yesterday. And the doctor walked in, and he said, I'm even more puzzled than I was when you stepped in here. And I was like, he said, because everything that you had in your breast is gone. Everything is negative, and there's nothing left, and there is nothing there. And she said, and she told him, she said, it is by Jesus Christ alone, and it isn't because of you or what the doctors did or what the medicines that you have, but it is by Jesus Christ alone and my faith in him.
Amen. Amen. Come on, praise God. All right. You going to stay up here and hang out with me or what? All right. And I said, do you have any documentation? Because we don't just say stuff like that to say it. And so he brought me the document, has it on his phone, that it says no more cancer. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God more glory tonight. Amen. Praise God. He still heals. Amen. How many got your Bibles? How many ready to receive something from the Word tonight? Amen. I'll give you the title in a second. Don't put it up yet, but I want to read a couple of lead-in verses to make sure you believe the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Powerful verse. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen? How many believe that this Bible is alive? It says right there, put it back up for a second. It says it is alive, is living and powerful. That's the most amazing thing about this book, is it's as alive today as it was when they wrote it. And as it was 1,000 years ago. And if the Lord tarries, if it was 1,000 years from now, this book right here keeps us on track, tells us how to live. How many want to be blessed? How many want to be happy? How many want to have peace and joy and all the things that God can give us? If you want all those things, all you got to do is read this book and believe it and obey it. Write that down. Read this book and believe it and obey it. Okay? Read this book and believe it and obey it, because you can try to obey it without believing it, or you can believe it without obeying it. You got to do both. You got to believe it and you got to obey it. Another one is Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. My son, my daughter, do not forget my law. That's the Bible. But let your heart keep. Somebody say keep. Remember, that's one of those words that we talked about a few weeks ago. Keep my commands. And watch what happens. I love this verse. For length of days and long life. Don't change it yet because I got to read this again. And peace they will add to you. Isn't that powerful? Let me read that again. My son, my daughter, keep this word right here. Keep these commands. So read it, believe it, keep it, obey it. And what's the promise? You'll have a long life and peace will be added unto you. How many would like long life? How many would like peace tonight? How many would like to have all the answers that you need in your life? The Bible says if we'll keep his word, we'll have those things. And then it goes on to say in verse 4, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Bind them words of God around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for any guests we have tonight. Thank you for those watching online that might be in a parking lot, might be watching this or listening to this 6 months from now, and your word is that will be alive then as it is tonight. God, touch our hearts. Speak a word to us tonight. Help us tonight, Lord. Graduate us to the next step that you're taking us to in this walk with God so we can be closer to you and more ready to be used by you tonight, as we heard in that testimony. Just willing, Lord God, to step out of our comfort zone and trust you. Lord, I bind every spirit of darkness, and I pray that there would be understanding tonight and anointing on your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many know there's some good chapters right there, good verses about the importance of the Bible? Now, I want to give you a nugget tonight. It's Wednesday night. I want to give you a nugget. How many like nuggets? Not chicken nuggets. Those go away. Chicken nuggets don't last forever, but a nugget from God will last forever. I want to give you a nugget that has helped me. Some of you heard me say this. When I got saved, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. How many's ever had the Lord speak to you very clearly? If you haven't yet, he will. If you read his word and you pray and you build a relationship with, he'll speak to you. As you pray and as you read the Bible, you'll hear his voice more and you'll understand when he's speaking to you. But there was a time in the very beginning when I got saved that the Lord showed me. It's one of those maybe 5 to 10 times in my life where I heard him so clear. And it stuck with me for the last. How many know when the Lord speaks, it sticks with you? And he told me, now that I've changed your life, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use your life to touch others and all the things like that. You're going to preach for me. You're going to share my gospel. And he gave me a nugget. He said, I'm going to spare you from a lot of problems. He said, I'm going to allow you to see things in front of your life, in front of your face. I'm going to allow things to take place right in front of you. It could be an adulterous situation. It could be a wrong attitude. It could be a sinful nature, whatever. Whatever it is. He said, I'm going to let those things happen in front of you. You're going to see them with your eyes. And if you will learn from that mistake of somebody else, I will keep you from that ever happening to you. How many know that's a good nugget? That we can learn from other people's mistakes. Write that down. We should learn to learn from other people's mistakes. Does anybody believe it's better to learn from somebody else's mistake than go through it yourself? Right? I mean, if I had a hammer here tonight and I put my thumb on this pulpit and I just came down, well, I did that the other day. Actually, it just wasn't my thumb. It was right here. My hand was swollen during the revival. I was trying to hit a pole into the ground, and I came back with all my strength, and thankfully, it wasn't the hammer that my father-in-law gave me the next day. It was a smaller hammer. And I missed the pole and hit my hand. Now, I can tell you how much that hurt tonight. And you can believe me and go, man, I don't want to hit my hand with a hammer. Or you could just try it yourself and see how it feels. Right? Let me get what I'm saying. It's much better to listen to somebody else and say, you know what? When you hit your hand with a hammer full force, it really hurts. And you go, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to do my very best in my life to never hit my hand with a hammer. Or you could say, nah, you know, I don't know if that's really true. I think I'm going to go out and try that. So tomorrow, you just grab a hammer and hit your hand. See, it was true. God can let things happen in front of you. And he can say, if you'll learn from that, I'll keep you from doing that. And I'm telling you, it's a nugget that has been with me for 30 years. And for the glory of God till this day, and I pray in the name of Jesus, it will never change. I have been able to learn from many other people's mistakes and kept those things out of my own life so I don't have to go through them. Learn from other people's mistakes. Amen? So, that said, one of the greatest examples in the Bible that we have for learning from other people's mistakes, and we're going to end with that tonight, we're going to start with it and end with it, is the Israelites. When they were taken out of slavery and brought into freedom and brought into, God wanted to take them into the what? To the promised land. How many have read the story of the Israelites going through the Red Sea and all the different things and knowing tonight that when they got to the promised land, they could not go in because of many circumstances that we're going to get into a little bit tonight, but they didn't get there, especially because God sent in some spies and 10 out of 12 said, we can't take this land. Which you've heard me preach that whole message before, God gave him a little cheat code and said, the land I'm giving you. I mean, remember that story. Go check out the land I'm giving you. And in other words, you're going to get it. You're going to succeed. But I just want to see if you'll just go do what I said and come back and say, yeah, we can do it. And instead you went and looked at what you saw with your physical eyes and all that. And so we know that because of that, they didn't go into the promised land. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two that had the faith for that. That's a whole other message. But I want to put up the title tonight, and it is this. 11 days or 40 years? 11 days or 40 years? Now, if you're talking about something that's going to last a long time like a marriage, you want 40 years. If you're talking about blessings, you want 40 years. Amen? You're talking about, good things that want to last, all those things, you want that 40 years. But when it comes to trouble, you don't want 40 years. You would rather have 11 days. Okay? So some of you may or may not know what that means. And I obviously have read this. If you've ever read the Bible through, you read things. And then just sometimes, here I am in my 31st year of being saved, and I read something, and it just popped out at me like it had never popped out before. I think yesterday or Monday when I was reading in my devotional, in my time in the Bible, and I read this verse, so I want to put up right here, and it says, did we get it in the New Living? Okay, let's look at this, Deuteronomy 1. Now pay attention to this, watch this, this is very important. These are the words that Moses spoke to all the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness, east of the Jordan River. They were camped in the Jordan Valley, so we're seeing them right here now where they've journeyed to, and they were near those places. Next verse. I'm not going to butcher those names. And watch this. This is the key to the message tonight. Normally, say normally, it takes only 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is the city right across from Canaan, which is the promised land. Going by way, now leave this up there for just a second, going by way of Mount Seir. So in other words, if they would have traveled the right way, the way God wanted them to, if they'd have been in their word, if they'd have been praying, if they'd have been obeying, they'd have got to the promised land in 11 days. But watch the next verse. But 40 years after, the Israelites left Egypt on the first day of the 11th month. Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything the Lord had commanded him to say. Tonight, do you want to get to where God wants you to go in 11 days? Or do you want to get to where God wants you to go in 40 years? Anybody in their right mind is going to say, I want the 11 days. Now, that's not a get-rich-quick scheme idea. Not trying to get you to think that way. Some might say, well, it just takes that long for good things to happen. That's not what this message is about. This message is, let's get there quicker. I almost titled the message, let's get there quicker. Or we can get there quicker. But I thought Destiny helped me too with the idea of which one, 11 days or 40 years. So in your life tonight, God's got a promise for you. He's got blessings for you. He's got peace for you. He's got joy for you. He's got a destiny for you. many believe he's got a destiny for you? Not just Landon. He doesn't have just a destiny for Landon. He has a destiny for everybody. Amen? And so he's got this for us, but what the question is, are we going to get there in 11 days, or are we going to get there, is it going to take us 40 years of wilderness? And so as we read that and we understand that, it's a very profound statement. I just stopped and I thought, I know I've read that before, but I don't think I ever realized it was only it would have taken only 11 days to get there, and they spent 40 years. How many don't want that tonight? So write this down. Don't allow the things of this world. I'm going to let you write this down. I really think this is important. Don't allow the things of this world. I believe this will be a message to go back to frequently. Don't allow the things of this world or disobedience or a wrong attitude to keep you from, I'll go back over this, from all the goodness and all the promises and all the blessings God has for you. Can I get an amen? Let me say that again. Don't allow. So what we're not going to get into the depths tonight of you can go read Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and see what they did. But I'm going to break it down for you in this paragraph. Don't allow what they did, the things of this world, or disobedience, or a wrong attitude. Those are all things that the Israelites allowed into their lives to keep you from all the goodness and all the promises and all the blessings God has for you. How many believe that God has promises and blessings and goodness? He is a good, great, awesome, wonderful God. He wants the best for everybody. And so we have this Bible, and the truth is, and this is where we have to make a decision tonight. Do I want to be that person that's going to be the hard-headed person? Do I want to be that person that's got a, I know Kendra will remember this. I know my wife will remember this. I know my dad will remember this. Back in the early 90s, DC Talk did a song, "Some People Gotta Learn the Hard Way. Some people just have to find out for themselves." Does anybody know anybody like that? Does anybody know anybody that's not that's like that, that's not you? Amen? Maybe you raise your hand for yourself. I can't be that for you. I don't want to be that. I want everything God has for me. And I want to get to the finish line. I understand it's a marathon. I understand this. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say tonight. It takes time. Anything worthwhile takes time. All those quotes I give you, all those things I say. But on this particular thing, we don't have to go through the wilderness all the time. They went to the wilderness not because God was testing them. They went to the wilderness because they chose to disobey. They chose to love the world, idolatry. They chose to have a bad attitude. All those things that you'll see. And so if we can get to a place right now, how many know tonight, as Santo said, and we've been sensing and seeing and believing that we're in a revival, this is just the beginning of what God wants to do in our church. It's just the beginning. There's more. Look, there's more. Like the commercial, and there's more. Amen? How many believe that? There's more. The testimonies like that tonight with Chris can happen every service. People getting saved, people getting healed, miracles taking place. We talked about the signs on Sunday and all those things that are happening. We can get there faster if we will deal with these things in our own personal lives, because revival corporately always happens first personally. It's always us working on ourselves and allowing God to teach us those things. And so it's a great example in that book there. Now look at just quickly at Deuteronomy 3, real quick, just to understand the story, verse 22. And Moses is this, I just say this because this is a sad part of Scripture. Because even, this is where I put myself in here. And tonight, as the pastor of the church, I would be considered the Moses, and you would be the Israelites. I already talked about you. I don't want to be there's so many things I would like to be like Moses like, but I don't want to be like Moses in this part. Okay, so it says, "You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you." How many believe that? And watch what he says. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, oh God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness. Listen, this is for me and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do anything like the works of your mighty deeds? I pray, God, let me cross over and let me see the good land beyond the Jordan. There, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of... Somebody say that for me. Thank you. And lift your eyes towards the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. With everything that Moses did right, he did not get to go into the promised land. Amen? Now, there's a whole lot of information in there, a whole lot of reasons, a whole lot of whys. He was trying his best to teach these people, don't ever envy Moses. Ever. He had the hardest job in the whole Bible outside of Jesus. Of course, he was a type of Christ. Having to take those people out and listening to those murmurings and listening to those complaints and then interceding for the people. And did nothing, in my opinion, did a lot of very, very little small things, but God used them as an example. For example, when he told him to speak to the rock, he struck it. Different things like that. And so I don't want myself, I don't want you to prolong. We're not talking about getting to heaven or anything. We're not talking about a heaven or hell issue. We're talking about not seeing the glory of God in our lives like God has intended for us tonight. This is the time to really buckle down and say, Lord, what are you trying to speak to me? How can I get this word in my heart and live by it and just be a simple person of obedience? So you think about the Ten Commandments. How many know the Ten Commandments are still valid today? It's funny, a lot of people try to talk about how Jesus came and then the New Testament's now, and so the Ten Commandments are out. That's never been the truth. The Ten Commandments will always be the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to go over them tonight for just somebody who hasn't ever heard them or haven't heard it for a long time. You can read them later if you want to take notes in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, I promise, but how many of you tonight could say all 10 commandments? Raise your hand if you know all 10 commandments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 10, okay? That's all right. We've got a lot of new people in the Lord, okay? How many could say at least 2? If you can't say 2, you may have never been outside of the cave you live in. Because we know kill and steal are pretty easy ones, right? But he starts off with having no other gods before him. Number one, not making idols. You start to think about these hard, stiff-necked people in that book. They had just seen the Red Sea part. You know, when we read the Bible, we got to say, man, they sure were dumb. We can be dumber. That movie says dumb and dumber. Amen? Don't be dumber. We could be just like them. We maybe haven't seen a Red Sea part, but we just heard of a miracle of cancer being healed. We just heard a miracle at prayer of someone who was an alcoholic who set free. So don't let us, as I said last week, take for granted what we have, right? They saw all that, and Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments, and while he's up there, they can't handle not seeing something, and they start taking their earrings out and burn and make a golden calf. Just to throw this out there, this is just no plans for this, but let me just hit this real quick. That's why, if you notice, we don't have any pictures of Jesus on the walls. We don't even have a cross in here. We don't have anything that someone would need to be an article of affection that you feel like you have to see to worship God. Y'all hear? That's why. That's why we don't have all that stuff, because we worship God in spirit and in truth. Anything that you can have in your life that you feel like you have to have in you, on you, around you, as an article of affection is exactly what they did. We come in here, if we're doing it right, we close our eyes, we lift our hands, we worship God, and I don't have to see anything because I know He's there. Okay, does that make sense? So if you've ever wondered why we don't have any of that stuff, that's why. They didn't need that, but they felt like they needed to, and so they went and made idols. Now today, obviously, we have a lot of idols as well that aren't physically touchable. They're idols that we have in our lives that could be more important than God. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is the cuss word? He's the most famous cuss word. I think Pastor Brian said it Saturday night. No one ever says, oh, Buddha, oh, Muhammad, oh, Cardi, Krishna, oh, whatever. When they hit their, you know, I spoke in tongues when I hit my hand. And it was funny. I forgot if Carla's back in the back. I think I was telling Breyer. And I told him, I showed him what I did, and he just laughed. I said, I hit my hand, and I said, and he was like, you know, he didn't know what I was saying yet. Amen? So don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. When someone says that cuss word, you say, is Lord. We do that on the basketball court all the time. They say that name. Is Lord. Amen? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. This would be good for you teenagers and kids. I know it's spring break. Honor your father and mother. Does that still exist? Last time I checked, if you want to have a long life, the one that begins with the promise is to honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. So those are the Ten Commandments. Why am I saying that? Because we need to live by these things. God gave them to us for a reason. And then now in the New Testament, through the Word of God and the instruction of the Holy Spirit, now we have two commandments that sum up the whole Ten Commandments, right? Does everybody know that? Write this in your notes. Matthew 22, Mark 13, and Luke 10. Matthew 22, Mark 13, and Luke 10. You'll see all Ten Commandments summed up in two. How many in here tonight know the two? Raise your hand if you know the two. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Raise your hand if you know the two. All right, we need to read our Bibles. I'm not condemning anybody tonight, but if we've been saved for a while and we don't know the two commandments, we need to get in the Word. Right? Am I right? Because this Word's going to keep us from trouble. I'm not mad. I'm not saying that mean. I'm just telling you, if I asked you other questions about things in life, you'd probably know the answer to them. But if we don't know the two commandments, we need to get in our Word. Can I get a better amen? So I can move on. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. I asked him, what are the commandments? He said, they summed up in two. That, and the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when you do those two things right, and how many know that needs to be done on a daily basis, right? If we want the 11 days and not the 40 years, we got to work on that on a daily basis. Staying in love with God. If we're staying in love with God, we're reading His Word. If we're reading His Word, we're praying. If we're praying, we're hearing His voice. If we're hearing His voice, we're getting closer to Him, and we're building a relationship with Him. So we're reading His Word so we won't sin against it. And when we love God, we said this all the time, if we truly love God, we will love people. And we will try, it's the golden rule, do unto others How would our lives change if in every situation of reaction or anger or frustration, we would realize, what would I need that person to see in me? How would I need that person to treat me? I want to be treated that way, but how come I don't want to treat people that way? So you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many are following me tonight? 11 days, 40 years. Amen. Here's a good one. Deuteronomy 5, in that same chapter, verse 33, New Living Translation, stay. Keep, stay, continue, abide. Anybody noticing all these words we've been talking about for weeks? Stay. Stay on the path. Tell the person next to you, stay on the path. Tell them don't ever get off. Amen, ever. What happened to the Israelites? They got off the path. Bad. And then when you begin, now God's not going to send you to the wilderness for one mistake. But when you, it's like we always talk about, when you make a mistake, repent. And fix it by making a right decision. And then like someone said over the revival, then follow that up with another good decision. And then follow that up with another good decision. You start building in your walk with God good decisions, godly decisions. And you're staying on the path. But they were so hard-headed and they were so bad attitude and they were so disobedient that God said, okay, it's an 11-day path. It's an 11-day journey. You're not going to spend 11 months. You're not even going to spend 11 years. You're going to spend 40 going in circles. How many people in Christian circles in churches today? Listen, I hope no one in this place is in this, but how many of maybe going through the circles in the destinies right there, the blessings right there, the promises are right there, the goodness of God is right here, and you're just over and over and over again. And we're in the New Testament of grace. I believe if God said, you know what, I'm going to give you a 40-year sentence, and because of the grace of God, you begin to change your heart, he'll let you off the carousel. That's spinning in circles, going nowhere. How many don't want to live that life? How many don't want to just go? You don't want to go in circles with God. You don't want to just, carousels are fun for kids, but you're not going anywhere. Right, we need the kids to stay in the same spot. This is a great, whoever invented that was very smart. Put them on a thing, let them go in circles. They don't go very far. We need to go somewhere. How many believe God's taking us somewhere? He's taking us somewhere. And so this stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives. Boy, it's a good verse. Then you will live long. Does that sound like the second verse we read? Then in Proverbs, then. Isn't it interesting how the Bible says the same thing in every chapter? And those who prosper and live long lives are the ones who say, you know what? I'm just going to obey God. I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to have a good attitude about this. And I'm going to get to where God wants me to go in 11 days instead of 40 years. Because I'd rather get to the spot where I'm supposed to be and be blessed and prospered and fruitful and all those things for 40 years instead of trying to get there. It's way off in the horizon for some people. But like we always say, if you've gone 50 steps away from God, how many steps is it back? One step back. So here we go again. Stay on the path that the Lord your God. I hope you've got this in your Bible. I hope you've underlined it. I hope you read this again. Stay on the path that the Lord that your God has commanded you. Can you put it right back up? Sorry, I was going to read it again. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land. Watch this. You are about to enter and occupy. That was a promise that they could have had. How many promises tonight are in the Bible that God wants you to have, but we don't have them? Because we go back to that first part that I told you at the beginning, don't allow the things of this world or the disobedience or the wrong attitude to keep you from those things. Can I get an amen? Now, to finish, the New Testament actually, in a very powerful chapter, and if you haven't noticed this too, just a little teaching on Wednesday night, as you go through the Bible, those that are coming after are always talking about what has happened. Okay? All throughout the Bible. Even, for example, the first martyr, Stephen. He's chosen because he's full of the Holy Spirit. You're going to start being used by God. He gets an opportunity to preach. You know, kind of like you saw Chris grab the mic from me tonight and start preaching, right? He just had a boldness to speak. And Stephen had that boldness and that zeal to speak, and he wanted to get out what he was said, and it cost him his life. He was the first martyr. But if you look at, don't do it now, please, but you can write it down. If you look at the book of Acts chapter 6, he gives a wonderful, beautiful summary of the Old Testament in his message. So remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So they're always going hand in hand. And so we can't say, church, listen, we cannot say all that old. The fact that it's called the Old Testament, it doesn't give it justice. Because when we hear old, especially if you're younger, you think old means washed up. Right? You think old means senile. You think old means dementia or slow. All those things. No, old means very wise. Old means you've been through some things. I can sit all day, every day, and talk to somebody who's in their 70s, 80s, and 90s and sit there and listen and listen and listen and listen and listen to their experiences and learn from them because they have seen some things. When you're young, you ain't seen nothing yet. But the older you get, that old means experience. So don't read the Old Testament like old gray hair. Amen? Although gray hair says it's wisdom. All right? So, to finish, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This deals with it specifically. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read several verses here. Let's look at this, starting in verse 1. I'm going to give me 5 more minutes. Watch this. I don't want you to forget. Now Paul, who was Saul, as we all went all over the revival this weekend, he says, dear brothers and sisters, I don't want you to forget about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. So he's saying, we can't forget what happened to them. All of them were guided by a cloud. Remember I said on Sunday, I think it was Sunday, that they had the blessing back then we don't have. They got to see the cloud. They got to see the fire by night, like visible. We everything we see is by total faith. We have not seen God. We have not seen the cloud. We have not seen a physical appearance. But they're seeing all this. And he says, they were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. And all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. Can you imagine walking through a sea with the walls of water on both sides? And look back and see all those people get covered in water in their chariots and still not believe. But they did. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the spiritual food. All of them drank the spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them. Watch this. And that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with, now here's the key, most of them. We need to make the decision we're not going to be most of them. You need to make the decision. I need to make the decision. We all need to make the decision. I'm not going to be most of them. I'm going to be the different one. I'm going to be set apart. I'm not going to do what everybody else does. God didn't call me to do what everybody else did. God told me to do what he told me to do, which is in his word. And I'm not going to be those other people. And he says, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us. I mean, when you see a sign, it means something. Detour ahead. Stop. Yield. Curves. That means slow down. All these warnings. God gives us all these warnings in the Old Testament. Watch this. This is so important. This might be the most important part of the whole night. So that we would not crave evil things as they did. So we would not crave evil things as they did. These things happen as a warning. Or worship idols, as some of them did. And as the scripture says, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and the musicians can begin to come. Look at this. The people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they, to me, it'd be like we just had this revival, and then this week we all went and got drunk. Instead of being more on fire for God, we just, that was a great revival. Let's go get drunk. Let's go do something crazy. Let's go sin. That's what they did. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? That's what they did. And they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality. Church, I tell you this all the time. That's one. There's a lot of sins. But don't mess around with sexual immorality. Young people, older people, fornication, adultery, pornography, lust, all those sexual immorality is a big deal to God, so much that it says in one day 23,000 of them died. How many know that story? The ground swallowed them up. They fell into a hole and the ground covered them. Literally eaten by the earth. God takes those things serious. How many know that we're going to see a move of God when we take serious what God takes serious? Amen? When we respect what God respects. When we say, Lord, if you said don't do that, I'm not going to do it. Let's finish reading. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did and died from snake bites. Remember that? Snakes started biting them. Go make a pole, Moses, put a serpent on it. If they look on the serpent, which is a type of Christ for the New Testament, and they won't get bit. And don't grumble as some of them did. I think that's an interesting thing. We have to work on being thankful. We have to work on being thankful, even for the fleas. Because we're talking about sexual immorality. What was the one from the verse before? Go back one. Sexual immorality. Putting him to the test, idolatry, pagan revelry, and in all that is grumpiness. Or sorry, what's the word I said? Grumbling. Go back, please. No, don't grumble. Isn't that interesting to anybody? That's kind of doesn't seem like that's that important. But boy, is it important to be thankful for what God's given us. Don't grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the angel of death. Am I trying to scare you tonight? No, I'm trying to tell you can get to your destiny faster. These things happen to them as what? As examples for me and you. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. That's us. Now to finish, three things. Write these down real quick. Here's the three main reasons that took them 40 years instead of 11 days. Number one. Lack of faith. Don't be in here tonight and question God. Just believe him. Just take him at his word. Just take him at his word. Number two, disobedience. They just didn't do what he told them to do. Moses, speak to the rock. Psh, hits it with the rock. I didn't tell you to hit it with the rock. I said speak with the rock. Eat this food. Don't grumble. Go here. Go there. Don't do this. Don't. All they had to do is. Yes, sir. Why? Yes, sir. Y'all go ahead and fall in the hole if you want to. Y'all go and get snake bites if you want to. I'm on a destiny to reach people, to do something for God. God's taking me somewhere. And listen, he's taking all of us somewhere. But some of us are going to take a long time to get there, and some of us are going to get there faster. And the last one is, don't put anything in place of God. Sorry, the third one is idolatry. Idolatry. So lack of faith, disobedience, idolatry. The opposite of that is, you want to get there quicker? You want to take 40 years? Lack your faith, disobey, and have problems with idolatry. You want to get there quick? Believe and have faith. Obey and don't put anything in place of God. And say this with me on a daily basis. Father, thank you for your precious word tonight, your powerful word. I thank you for speaking to me tonight. Lord, if you didn't speak to anybody else, you spoke to me tonight, Lord, and that young boy. I thank you, Lord, for your word that is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I thank you that you're taking us as a church someplace. You're taking me as a person, these people as people. You're taking us someplace. You've got a destiny for us. We're your masterpiece. We're your workmanship, God. Give us a spirit of obedience tonight. Give us an attitude, Lord, of trusting you and not questioning you and not murmuring and complaining, but just saying, Lord, I'm all in. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it because you've been here already. You are the I am. As Pastor Jones said Sunday morning, you're the I am, and I'm the I'm nobody. But with you, God, in obedience to you, I can do great and powerful and mighty things. How many all over this place, his heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, you have not confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You have not believed on him tonight as that snake bite antidote. Sin strikes us all, sin bites us all, and we're on a path of destruction without God. And Jesus says, I've come down and I've taken that snake bite for you. I'm the antidote to the sin nature. And you've never confessed that Jesus is that for you tonight. You've never believed that he can save you from your sins and take the wrath of God off you tonight. Just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me tonight. I want to be saved right now. Just lift up your hand. All over this place, that's me. I see your hand. How many more? That's me. I've never done this prayer before. I've never put my faith in Jesus. Tonight, that's me. I want to be saved. Just put it up and put it down. Maybe you know the Lord and you're running, backslidden, making bad choices, not in love with Jesus like you used to be, and you need to get back right with God tonight. That's you. Raise your hand. Say, pray for me tonight, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Let's stand tonight all over this place. Amen. How many know we can all get there quicker? 11 days or 40 years, we decide. We decide. God might let us have a little test along the way to give us endurance, but he wants us to get there. He wants us to fulfill the destiny. We have the power to obey tonight. Amen. Let's say this prayer tonight for anybody that's watching online, anybody that's listening on the podcast. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Your word tells me the wages of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and you took my place so that I could have eternal life, so I could be forgiven, washed clean, made new. I accept that and believe that. Jesus, you are Lord, and you are resurrection, and you are power. I give you my life tonight. I surrender to you and ask you to take control of every aspect of my life from this night forward. I deny the devil and all his demons, and I obey Jesus and the Holy Spirit from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. As we thank the Lord for that tonight.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.